the guest speakers, Rav Aryeh is always the first to say yes immediately without hesitation, Nasa v'nishma, so we can be nishma. And we really greatly appreciate it. You understand, Rav Aryeh, how much we're longing for Torah at these times, and to be able to hear your Torah is a special sweetness. And I don't want to take any more of the time. The boys could be hearing you instead of me, but I just want to say thank you, Meum Kudaliba.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Rav Targin, Bereshus, Rav Targin Shlita. It's such a great pleasure and honor to speak some Divrei Torah together with you this morning here, evening over there. For clarity's sake, how long of a slot is this? I'm not sure how long I'm supposed to speak for.
Well, the real answer is that we'd like you to speak as long as we have the schus of hearing you. So I would say 6-7 hours, would be the basic, in all seriousness, we usually go until 7:30, but it's break afterwards, and I'm sure everyone's going to stay on. So if it's 7:40, 7:50, 8 o'clock, everyone will be very, very happy.
So we're going to go, we'll go on the shorter side of things. We'll schmooze afterwards to, if anyone wants to catch up a little bit. Okay. But let's talk a little bit about the parsha. I figured I wasn't, there's no topic, given, which is always, nice. We have a lot of freedom to talk about whatever. So I decided that maybe this week instead of talking about halacha, I don't remember what I spoke about last time, we'll do something that's parsha related. It's nice to see Rav Dovi here. Good to see you. Long time no see. I think particularly an important message for this time and really for every time. This week we really begin to learn the story of the emergence of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, the emergence of Moshe Rabbeinu is somewhat of an unlikely story, because while Moshe Rabbeinu was certainly the greatest leader in our history, he's also its most hesitant leader. Moshe Rabbeinu kept on refusing the mantle of leadership. He seemed to not be interested at all. And not only that, even like his beginnings, like where he came from, was supposed to be was something that was very, very quiet. It was something that was somewhat unexpected. The Chumash doesn't tell us who his parents were directly. Vayelech Ishmi Beis Levi, Vayikach Es Bas Levi. And Amram and Yocheved were Migdolei Hadar, the Gemara in Sotah says. And yet the Chumash, for some reason, doesn't want to discuss that in a direct kind of way. And the Bali Musar tells us that the reason the Torah doesn't mention who Amram and Yocheved were explicitly in connection with the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu was to tell us that to be a Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't need to come from Gedolei Hadar. You don't need that yichus of a mother and father, the likes of Yocheved and Amram. Gedolei Torah could come even from the lowest of places. Anybody can become a Gadol B'Torah. I was talking to one of my children about this week. He was saying that one of his Rebbeim was discussing, can a Gadol emerge from the modern Orthodox world? A Gadol can emerge from any world. A Gadol can emerge from whatever background a person comes from. One of my Rebbeim in Yeshiva used to say that the Gemara tells us that lachar mea v'esrim shana, if a person tries the tactic of claiming that he couldn't become a tzaddik because he was too rich or because he was too poor, so they would show him various gedolim. Me ani me Hillel, were you any poorer than Hillel? And the story where he was on the top of the window over there and it snowed on him, and you weren't in a worse situation than that. And one of my rebbeim used to say that if the Gemara were written today, if someone were to say, I couldn't become a gadol, like I went to like MTA and YU, like I didn't, I didn't emerge from, from the womb just learning Torah, and so he said it would say that did you ever hear of Rav Herschel Schachter? He also went to MTA, he also went to YU, never got to spend a year in Eretz Yisrael learning full time between high school and college, did not get to go to Yeshiva Hakotel or any of the other wonderful yeshivot that exist in Israel. Anyone can become a Gadol Adar. Anyone can become destined for greatness. The Rambam writes in the fifth parak of Hilchos Teshuva that Kol Adam Ra'u Lo Lihios Tzadik Kemoshe Rabbeinu. And the Rambam calls this an Ikur Gadol Hu V'Hu Amud HaTorah. bar mitzvah. This is a major foundation of what we believe in, that a person has the ability, along with Bechira Chavshis, the ability to choose greatness. A person can become genuinely great. And this is, in fact, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points out in his Sefer Emes Yaakov, one of the fundamental differences between our Hashkafas HaOlam and the Hashkafas HaOlam of some other religions, that in certain other religions, they believe that in order for a person to be the Navi or the greatest leader, they have to have been born through some sort of miraculous set of events, some sort of immaculate conception, something of that nature. Because how can greatness emerge from just regular Bali Chomer, from regular people who are made of regular stuff? How can just a bus of a dumb become great? So we believe that anyone can become great. So Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership of the Jewish people, not only his personal greatness, but his leadership of the Jewish people had a certain surprise element to it. Because if you were to ask him, what do you aspire to? What do you want to be? He never would have said the leader of the Jewish people. In fact, he was asked by no less than the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, would you mind leading my people? And his answer was unequivocal. He answered, no, yes, I would mind. No, I do not want it. I'm not interested. Shalach na biyadishlach. There are people that are more qualified than I am. That's not my interest, to be the leader of the Jewish people. And we could easily understand how that hesitance on Moshe Rabbeinu's part actually enhances our image of who Moshe Rabbeinu was. The humility is astounding, it's admirable, but it's also a model for all future Jewish leadership. Meaning, it is not that only that humility is compatible with greatness in the Jewish people. Humility is a prerequisite to being a great leader in the Jewish people. You go through the generations, the greatest leaders, the ones that we speak about reverentially, the ones whose Torah we still learn today, decades later, centuries later, they were the people who modeled Moshe Rabbeinu in the sense of being Anav Mikal Adam. That sets the standards for all Jewish leaders. You know, sometimes we look at Gedolei Torah, and it's true that it's good to have goals, and it's important to have goals, and you know, the famous story with Rav Gifter, where he used to hang pictures of Gedolei Torah all over his room, and in the middle he had "Why Not You?" And you know, he had that in his MTA dorm. You go around the MTA dorm today, I'm not sure if you're going to find that same set of pictures on the wall. You know, "Why Not You?" And he became Rav Gifter, a tremendous drive. You know, you have Rav Avadi Yosef, who you know, at the age of 16 or something like that, sat down and wrote a list of the 30 svarim that he plans on writing throughout the course of his life, and then spent the rest of his life actually doing it. So you have like that model of those who are so driven. But generally speaking, our great leaders are not driven by becoming leaders. They're driven by a desire to very humbly connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. When Rav Moshe Feinstein was becoming Rav Moshe Feinstein, it was unclear that there was going to be anyone to even talk Torah with. It was unclear that there was going to be anyone to teach Torah to. And all of this is in the mold of a Moshe Rabbeinu. So that we understand very well. That's not difficult to understand. But all of this background is a way of me asking the following question. That's the first conversation. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, be the leader of the Jewish people, lead them out of Mitzrayim, and he says, Shlach Nabiyat Tishlach. Great. That's right on message, right on point. It's exactly what we want Moshe Rabbeinu to say, and it adds to the legend of Moshe Rabbeinu, it adds to the story of all Jewish leaders. What's more difficult to understand is the second attempt that Moshe Rabbeinu had at absolving himself of this mission that the Ribbono Shel Olam was trying to saddle him with. And it's not easy to be the leader of the Jewish people. You know, I'm reminded of I think it was Tony Blair that said, who was a former Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, who was apparently a very close friend of Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, and he, I think in one of the eulogies, I think Tony Blair said that he and when he was appointed to the head of his party in England, he was having a conversation with then Chief Rabbi Sacks, and they were discussing whose job is more difficult. Is it more difficult to be the chief rabbi? Is it more difficult to be the head of a political party? And Rabbi Sacks, as he often did, just chuckled. He laughed and he said, "You think your job is harder?" He said, "Let me tell you something. The Jewish people have a history of making great leaders, but we have also have a history of making for lousy followers. We do not make for great followers. It's not easy to manage Klal Yisrael, to manage the Jewish people." So what's more difficult to understand is when Moshe tried to absolve himself the second time, what exactly is his taina, right? What does the pasuk say? Hinei anochi ba'el b'nei Yisrael. He said, "I'm going to approach the b'nei Yisrael, and v'amarti lehem, and I'm going to say to them, Elokei avosechem shlachani aleichem, the God of your forefathers has sent me to you. V'amru li, and you know what they're going to say to me?" Now, what's he afraid of? What's the response going to be? I would think the fear would be, who are you? You weren't even in slavery with us. You're coming from the outside. It's been decades since we've even seen you in this country. Now you're coming from the outside and you're claiming to be able to save us. Or there is no hope. There's no future. Or we have a tradition that it's supposed to be 400 years of galus, and now it's only going to be 210. How does that make any sense? The Ribbono Shel Olam, if nothing else, the Ribbono Shel Olam is MS. He's a truthful God. It doesn't make sense that he would take us out early. Hashem told Avram Avinu's offspring would suffer for 400 years. So why would it be that it would be less than 400 years? So, but that's not what Moshe says. Moshe doesn't say any of that. He says, no, va'amruli, they're going to say to me, mashimo. Oh yeah, what's his name? So ma'omar aleihem. What am I supposed to say to them when they ask mashimo, when they ask what his name is? So what exactly is the concern that Moshe Rabbeinu is expressing? And furthermore, Hashem's response to that, to whatever that concern is of mashimo, is equally puzzling. He doesn't seem to add anything to the description of himself beyond what we already know. If everyone could just mute themselves, or if there's someone that can mute others for me, if you don't mind. Okay, there we go. So the response that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives is equally puzzling. He doesn't really add anything to what we already know about Hashem. He says, Eheke shlachani aleichem. That Eheke, which is one of the Shemos Hashem in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin that it's a Shem Hashem, you're not allowed to say. Oh. Okay, I don't know how long I was muted, but the Hashem's response is equally puzzling, because what happens? Hashem describes himself in a way that doesn't add anything to what we already know about Hashem. What does he say? Eheke shlachani aleichem. That Eheke, which is one of the Shemos Hashem, it's one of the names of Hashem. The Shulchan Aruch paskins in Yoredeya that you're not allowed to say Shem Hashem unnecessarily. So this is one of the Shemos Hashem. A lot of people don't realize that, so they just say the word as it's like saying any of the other Shemos Hashem levatala. But anyway, he says Eheke shlachani aleichem. Hashem Elokei Avoseichem. Hashem, the God of your fathers. Elokei Avram. Elokei Yitzchak. Elokei Yaakov. In case you forgot who those fathers are. Shlachani aleichem. Ze shmi li'olam v'ze zichri l'dar dar. This is who I always was. This is what I will always be. Right? I'm ha'yahova v'yiyah. And that's what you should respond to them. What is this conversation about? What is the pshat in this conversation? That's question number one. Okay, that was a bit of a long question. Let's put it a little bit shorter. What exactly is Moshe Rabbeinu's second rejection of the mantle of leadership, and how does Hashem respond to that mashimo, v'omrili mashimo? Now, second question, there are two times in Tanakh that we find a commandment for a person to dafka, take off his shoes. Moshe was told during this encounter with the Ribbono Shel Olam, Shalna alecha me'al raglecha, ki ha'makom asher ata omed alav ad mas kodeshu. Take your shoes off, because the place where you're standing is holy ground. That's where Chazal learned from there that Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara El Malchus Beis David Bilvad, that Moshe Rabbeinu could not sit there, because in order to the Gemara, there's a beautiful vart, I think, I forgot who said says it, but it's a beautiful ha'ara that the Chazal say when Moshe Rabbeinu was told Shal Nalecha Me'al Raglecha, Chazal say Malchus Bikesh. He was looking for Malchus. Where do you see that Malchus Bikesh? Because he was told Al Tikrav Halom. Don't come to the holy place. Back up. Take off your shoes before you come too close. Why does he have to take off his shoes before he comes too close? Because a place that has Kedushas HaZara, it's usher to sit in a place that has Kedushas HaZara, except for Malchi Beis David. Only the Malchi Beis David are allowed to sit in a place that has Kedushas HaZara. That was the reason for when the splitting of the Malchus, why it was so important to Yeravim to set up a separate place of worship, a separate place that people will be able to the regel, because if everyone could see that Rechavim is able to sit in the Azara and he's not, it would look terrible for him. So it's only Malchi Beis David that are allowed to sit in the Azara. The Gemara in Chulin tells us that a person who's 80 years old is typically unable to remove his shoes while standing up. He needs to sit in order to remove his shoes. The Gemara in Chulin, the Gemara tells us that one of the Amoraim was so extraordinary that even at the age of 80, he was able to remove his shoes standing up because when he was young, he was treated with certain types of ointments or whatever. So that's what the Medrash is telling us. Malchus Bikesh. That Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, am I Melech? Do I get to take off my shoes here? No, Al Tikrav Halom. Don't get too close. Shal Na'alecha Me'al Raglecha. Take off your shoes where you are. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu was told to take off his shoes because the makom is Ad Mas Kodesh. And then you have later on Yehoshua. After leading the Jewish people in Teretz Yisrael, Yehoshua encounters an angel, and the angel tells him, Shal Na'alecha Me'al Raglecha, Ki HaMakom Asher Atah Me'ed Alav Kodeshu. Almost exactly the same idea, almost exactly the same words. What's the connection between these two incidents? What's the focus on the removal of the shoes for these two great leaders of the Jewish people, Dafka from Moshe Rabbeinu, and for the one who takes over the reins of leadership from Moshe Rabbeinu? So there's a beautiful sefer that most people never heard of or certainly don't have access to. It's called Chidushei Rabbeinu or Drashos Rabbeinu Yosef Nechemia. Rabbeinu Yosef Nechemia is Rabbi Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer. Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer was the chief rabbi of Krakow prior to World War II. He is a great-grandson of the Chassam Sofer on both his mother's and his father's side. His parents were first cousins, so that was not at all uncommon in those days for people to be first cousins. I remember when my wife's grandfather, Zichrono Livracha, was interviewed by the Steven Spielberg Foundation about his experiences during the Holocaust. So one of the questions that the interviewer asked him was, how did you meet your wife? And his response was like, what do you mean? How did anyone meet their wife? She was my first cousin. Like that's how everyone met their wife in the little town I was from in Europe. So Rav Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer was a great grandson of the Chassam Sofer on both his mother's and father's side. So I was privileged to have in my one of my first shiurim in DRS many, many years ago, his great, great grandson. So the family got me a set of his svarim. Beautiful, beautiful svarim. And it's a very unique style of drush, a very interesting. Many of you probably know Rabbi Natan Farber is the great-great-grandson of Rav Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer. So very, very unique and beautiful style of drush. So he writes something I thought was magnificent. It's not something I would ever think of, certainly, and it's not even the style of my Rebbeim at all, but it's, I think, something that's a magnificent piece of drush. He writes that the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam that connotes Midas HaRachamim, right, the Yud Kei Vav Kei Shem Hashem, that's the Midas HaRachamim, name of Hashem, relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in three ways, meaning the three unique periods of the Ribbono Shel Olam's mercy. Yes, it's Rachamim Haya Hove V'Yihiyah. It's the Rachamim that was, that is, and that will be. That God has been, remains, and always will be the same of HaRachamim. The fact that there's a Jewish history, the fact that there's a Jewish present, and the fact that there's a Jewish future are all a reflection of Rachamei Shamayim. The term, says Rav Yosef Nechemia, Seser, Samach, Tuf, Reish, secret, Seser, which is used in expressing those times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways are hidden from us, right? In Esther, that it's Haster, Astir, Panai, that it's a Hester Panim. That term, Seser, he says, is an Utrikun, it's a Rashi Tevos, for all three time periods. There is Sof, There's toch and there's rosh. There's what will be in the end, that's the sof. There's toch, what you're right in the middle of now. And there's rosh, what was before, what is in the beginning. The Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Pesachim tells us that rishon throughout Tanakh does not mean first of. Rishon means prior to, right? With rare exception. The Gemara says there are only three times that Rishon does not mean prior to. It means the first of, and each one has a separate limud as to why it's used in an unusual way to tell us something about Bizchus Shlosh Rishon, Rizochet Shlosh Rishon. I'm just giving a little, a little something for the Daf Yomi people to make it feel good, you know, about the Daf Yomi. So something from Pesachim. But the idea of Sof, Toch, and Rosh means that which will be, that which is, and that which was. Rosh is that which was. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden, we don't see how his Midas HaRachamim is all-encompassing and how it covers the past, present, and future. It's very difficult to see that in times of Hester Panim. When Moshe Rabbeinu sees the Sneh, he immediately understands the symbolism of the burning bush. Right? The Egyptians are playing with fire. They're persecuting God's people. There have been many that have tried that throughout history. They all ultimately get burnt, right? Even the idea of the the Amalek jumping into the boiling hot bath. Yeah, those who jump into the boiling hot bath get burnt. They may have cooled down the bath. They may have hurt us, but they ultimately lose. They always ultimately lose. And the Egyptians decided to play with fire. They're persecuting God's chosen people, but somehow it seems that they're escaping any harm. And Moshe Rabbeinu sees that symbolism, that if Klal Yisrael represents the fire, and the Egyptians are represented by the bush itself, how come they're in the fire and nothing is happening to them? They're not singed by the fire at all. Vasne einenu ukal. It's not being burnt up. And Moshe Rabbeinu decides this is worth investigating. He decides to investigate further. I need to try to figure out what Hashem is thinking at the most difficult times for his people. Vayar Hashem, look at the words, unbelievable, says Rav Yosef Nechemia, this is a drush. Vayar Hashem ki sar liros. Hashem sees that Moshe Rabbeinu of the Seser has figured out the Samach and the Resh, but he hasn't found the Tuf. Vayar Hashem kisar liros. Moshe Rabbeinu is working on it and he sees the Sof, he sees the Rosh, but he cannot see the Toch, he cannot see what's going on right now. He sees the Sof, that Hashem will again be with his people one day, that there is such a notion of Jewish destiny. He hasn't given up on the hopes of a Jewish destiny, that he has full faith in the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu one day will bring a Geula. He sees the Rosh, that it's the same God that has been with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and has done incredible things for them, and has been there for them, and has loved them, and has chosen them. That was all clear to Moshe, sar liros. But where in the world is the toch? Where is the Ribbono Shel Olam right now, as babies are being used as bricks and walls in Mitzrayim, as people are being thrown into the water, as people are being killed, as people are being persecuted, as Paro is bathing in Jewish blood? I mean, you think about Moshe Rabbeinu with such a unique perspective on things. It's so counterintuitive, the whole idea we mentioned before of Moshe Rabbeinu being chosen is so counterintuitive. As Paro was bathing in Jewish blood, he was also raising a Jewish child, right? Meaning he was also caring for and feeding and going to PTA for a Jewish kid, for Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe Rabbeinu got a front seat to all of that. He got to see what was going on from the inside, and it was ugly. Vayar Hashem kisar liros, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees Moshe's struggle. And he tells Moshe, Al tikrav halom. Don't try to analyze this too closely. You know, sometimes you look at something and you don't see it so well, so you hold it closer to your face, and you think maybe you'll see it better. And it's like an instinct that a person has to try to go a little closer, to try to see it better. And sometimes that's not the best way to see something better. Sometimes you need to step away in order to see something better. You know, they say that if someone is speaking too quietly and you feel that you need them to speak louder, better than going closer is to go further away. You go further away, then they'll have to, if there's a crowd in the room and you want them to project to everybody. If, let's say, you're speaking and there's a question and answer session going on. So someone asks a question in a very faint voice. So back up and say, ask that again. I can't. And when they see that you're further away, then they'll say it loud enough for everybody to hear. Right? Sometimes you have to create some distance in order to see things a little bit better, or to hear things a little bit better. So al tikrav halom. Don't analyze this too closely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, the toch is not something that you can delve too deeply into and expect to understand. And Moshe Rabbeinu then realizes that while the relationship with the Sof and the Rosh can be one of Re'ia, he could be Sar Liros, he can see the Sof and the Rosh, the Toch cannot be so readily understood. And it sort of requires a leap of faith. It has to just be something that he accepts with complete faith. Ve'aster Moshe panav ki yarei mehabit el Elokim. Moshe has now completed the Seser. He understands that the Toch can't be analyzed too closely because it all seems like Elokim. Ve'aster Moshe panav, Seser, ve'aster Moshe panav, ki yarei me'abit el Elokim. He realized that there's a Midas Hadin in the Toch, that in the Toch he doesn't see the Rachamim, he doesn't see the Hove of the Midas HaRachamim in the Toch. The Midas HaDin, when viewed, is the only thing that's visible when viewed in that moment. We can't appreciate the mercy of the Ribbono Shel Olam during times like that. We're not expected to try to figure everything out in a moment like that. And that is why, when we're Makabel Ol Malchus Shamayim, we cover our eyes. We have to acknowledge our blindness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways at a time that we profess our belief in Him. Because if we really believe in Him, we have to be able to come to grips with the fact that we're not always going to get it. We're not always going to understand why things are the way they are and why things are playing out the way that they're playing out. It's not something that we're able to easily see. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Daled and Beis, tells us a story. Shuv Maisa. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Shahalach Lilmo Torah, said Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. One time there was a story, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa went to learn Torah by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. V'chala b'no, said Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Rebbe's kid got sick. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's child became ill. So Amar lo, Chanina b'ni, Bakesha l'vrachamim v'yichya. So, you know, you can imagine this happening. The Rebbe tells the Talmidim that Nebuch, there's an illness in my family. If everyone could please daven for my child, right? So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is asked by his Rebbe, by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, can you daven for my child? And what happens? He niach rosho ben birkav ubike shel avrachamim v'chai. He does it. He takes it seriously. You know what happens? Sometimes you get emails from mostos, from your school, your shul. Please daven for this and this name. It's a member of our kehila, a member of our yeshiva, who's very ill. And it will include a chapter of Tehillim. So what do people do in the year 2021? Who is it? Who is it? And they start texting your friends. Who is it? Do I know the person? Is it Corona? Is it this? Is that? And everyone forgets to say the Tehillim. Like, you know, it wasn't sent out so you could hawk about it. It was sent out so that you can daven for it. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. It's not just so you can be in the know. You know, that's you call someone up, is everything okay? I'd rather not talk about it. Oh, I know who will tell me. Okay, so I'll call someone else. I know who will tell. That's not what it's about. You got to daven. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai tells the Talmidim that you have to please daven. And what happens? Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa takes it seriously. He niach rosho ben birkov ubike shel avrachamim. He davens a sincere tefillah. V'chai! And it works! The child lives! Om Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai comments, you know, it's his own child. You got to imagine, no one's been davening harder than Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. No one's been putting more into the tefillah than Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, "Ilmale hitiach ben Zakkai es rosho ben birkov kol hayom lo hayu mashkichim alav." If I would have davened all day long, no one would have paid any attention. No one would listen to me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't going to respond to my tefillah. But my Talmud davens, and like that, the Ribbono Shel Olam listens to the tefillah. Amar lo ishto, his wife says to him, "Really? V'chi chanina gadol imcha? That I thought I married the gadol adar, and now you're telling me like you're not such hot stuff? You know, now you're like that your talmidim are greater than you? Is that true?" Amar lo, lav. No, chas v'shalom. Don't think that. It's not that my talmidim are greater than me. Elohu doma ke'eved lefnei ha'melech, va'ani doma ke'sar lefnei ha'melech. That he appears like an Eved in front of the king, and I'm like a Sar in front of the king. What exactly does that mean? That the Talmud is like an Eved? Why do the Eved's Tfilos get listened to before the Tfilos of the Sar? So the Kedushas Levi explains that a servant doesn't pretend to know what factors go into a king's decision making. He knows that he doesn't understand the factors that go into it. You know, someone asked me recently a detailed question about the about something medical or vaccine distribution or something like that. And I said, a question like that? Like, how could we even pretend to understand the factors that go into the decisions on the highest level of government when you're trying to figure out how to distribute to millions of people? I mean, we could look after the fact and say, you know, Israel figured it out and the United States, not yet, not so much, right? But how do you go into, like, we know that we just have no shaykhlus to that world. Maybe it's not so obvious nowadays. Nowadays, everyone feels like they know because everyone has Google, so everyone feels like that they're the greatest expert. But you know, we're privy to so little, to such so little of the information to be able to think that we understand, to be able to think that we know the factors that go into things. So the Kedusha Levi explains, a servant doesn't even pretend to know what goes into a king's decision making. He understands that he doesn't understand. A Tsar, on the other hand, he always thinks, you know, I'm one heartbeat away from being the Melech. I'm the right-hand man. I'm the advisor. I know exactly what's going through the king's head. I could be the king if only he'd get out of the way. So an officer thinks he knows every element of every decision. For our tefillos to be answered, our attitude has to be an Eved, the Fnei HaMelech. Figuratively burying our heads between our knees where we cannot see anything. Not like a Sar Lifnei HaMelech who thinks he can explain it all and maybe he could do it better if I was running the world. No, we're an Eved Lifnei HaMelech. And that's a good enough explanation for somebody who's on the Madrega of a Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's go back to that conversation now. Moshe asks the Ribbono Shel Olam, what should I tell the people? They're not going to understand where you are at this great time of need for them. They're struggling. What can I tell them? And Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Ekesh lachani aleichem. And to add, Hashem Elokei Avoseichem, reinforce the memory of the past and their belief in the future. I will be Ekesh lachani aleichem. And I'm also the same Hashem Elokei Avoseichem. I'm the same Hashem that was with their forefathers. And hopefully if you're able to take the Sof and the Rosh, they won't need to understand the Toch. If that will build up enough emunah by latching on to the history of the Jewish people and latching on to what they know to be the destiny of the Jewish people to get them through the present of the Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu responds, V'hein lo ya'aminu li, v'lo yishmu'u b'koli. Hashem. They're going to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who represents the Shem Havaya, that Haya Hoveviyya has not appeared to you. He's turned his back on us during slavery, and we don't get it. We're not comfortable. We don't know what the Hove is. So the Ribbono Shel Olam responds with the image of a stick turning into a nachash. The stick may seem stable and worthy of trusting to support our weight, but it can instantly turn into a slithery snake, something that you can't possibly put your weight on. And so too, that which we sometimes put our trust into can turn into nothing more than something that we can only come that can come back to bite us. Just as that which slithers away from us may not seem to be of any help to us, but you grab its tail, it turns into our support system. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's current actions, where we seem to have turned away from us, he seems to have turned away from us, when we focus on how everything is going to turn out, we grab onto the tail, what's it going to be at the tail end of things, what's it going to be when it's all over? We'll realize that he's been the support system all along. And that maybe is what had to be handed over to Yoshua. The mission that Moshe was reluctantly sent on was not one that Moshe could easily and readily understand during his lifetime. There were many great times. There was so much frustration and suffering also. Moshe Rabbeinu had a lot of aggravation during his time of leadership. He spent his life chasing a promise that he never got to see. He never got to see it come to fruition. He never really did get to see the Toch. He didn't get to go to Eretz Yisrael. And it was only after his death, when Yeshua led the people into the Promised Land, And with the full recognition that they only got as far as they got because of Moshe Rabbeinu, that the mission was complete. it's only from the perspective of the zanav, of the sof, of the mission, that we could truly understand that there must have been a master plan there all along. So Yeshua is also told, Shal na'alecha me'al reglecha. Yeshua is reminded, you can never think that you're going to understand the Toch until many years later. It's a critical message for Yeshua, because he's taking over the reins of the Jewish people at a time where there's going to be a tumultuous existence in Eretz Yisrael. It's a message of faith that's very meaningful to Yeshua. Remember how Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand Hashem's actions at the time, but you now, through the perspective of history, are able to put it all together. During your leadership as well, you will not understand everything. But if you have perfect faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam, you understand that there's a Sof and there's a Rosh, then you'll come to grips with the Toch, even when the Toch is not readily apparent. And this is one of the key messages in any time of challenge, in any time of difficulty. And you know, in the past year, we've seen more than our share of difficulty and of trying to understand what is going on, just like what's going on in the world. Like, it seems like the world is falling apart sometimes. Look, I mean, forget about coronavirus. What happened in Washington yesterday? Like, what is going on in this world? Are the very like foundations that the world stands on just like crumbling in front of our eyes? Just what's happening? And we don't understand exactly what's going on. But we know what our job is. We know what our avoda is. We know that we are important, we have a job to do, and there's no excuse to avoid that job. And that is that we have to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we have to strengthen our emunah, strengthen our connection to Torah and to mitzvos. And you know, it's easy for me to say, because you know, I'm not on lockdown in yeshiva. My years in Eretz Yisrael were not compromised by the challenges that you guys are facing. So it's easy for me to say, but part of our avoda, part of your avoda, is to recognize that no matter what the challenges are, the avoda doesn't change. No matter how difficult it is, the avoda doesn't change. You know, people will often think, well, if only I had the situation, you know, that my older brother had a few years ago, where it was so chill, he was able to relax a little bit until he got into it, and whatever, you know, and I'm just like expected to learn like a 3.5 hour Seder straight from my dorm room, you know, or something like that. I don't even know what you guys are expected to do right now. You know, the Gemara in Yuma Daf Pevav tells us that true tshuva, the tshuva gemura, is only ba'osa isha uba'osa perek uba'osa mako. So Pashas means that if a person sinned with a woman, he's got to find that same woman in the same place, in the same tkufa of his life, and be faced with the same temptation, and this time not sin. The Sefer Shomer Amunim suggests, no, it means that a person sometimes will say, you know, I would be a big tzaddik, but, you know, but I can't because I married the wrong woman. You know, my wife is always taking me away from learning or from this or from that. You know, Hashem tells us, no, but osa isha, the isha that you have, you could become a bal tshuva. I'd be a big tzaddik, but it's just not the right time. You know, it's just like, this is such a challenging time to be a big tzaddik, such a challenging time to become a masmid. I just, you know, I need more of a release. I need to, you know, to relax more. Like, binging Netflix just seems healthy right now. It just seems healthy. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, ba'os hazman, in that time that you're in right now. And if we say, I can't do tshuva because of where I am. You know, if I was in America, I'd have a little bit more space. But, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, I'm far away from my whole family. I'm very limited to where I can go. You know, the virus is raging in a way that's worse than it's raging in New York. But also Makom, in that place. It's famous, Rav Naftali Amsterdam once commented to Rav Yisrael Salanter that if he only had the Shagas Aryeh's brain and the Yisod V'Shorash Havodah's heart and Rav Yisrael Salanter's Midos, he would be a great Eved Hashem. And Rav Yisrael Salanter responded that with Naftali's brain and Naftali's heart and Naftali's traits, he's expected to be a great Eved Hashem. That with whatever the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us, whatever circumstances the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us, that's the expectation. The Sabbam, the Alter Min HaVardak, once commented that he never asked himself whether something was possible. can this be done? Can it not be done? He only asked himself whether it was required, whether this is what Hashem wants me to do. If it was required, then it's possible. So you ask yourself, the Panovich Rav would have asked himself, is it possible to care for all those Yisomim? Is it possible to build the Panovich Yeshiva in a midbar of Bnei Brak at the time? If any number of our Jewish leaders had ever asked themselves if it was possible, the answer would always be no. A very close friend of mine, years ago, when I was first starting my shul, I was trying to get Eitzah from people wiser than me, and I said, I called a friend of mine, I said, I'm a little nervous, because, they called me to start the shul. What's going to happen if, like, the first Shabbos, we open our doors, and there's, like, eight people there? And, like, we don't even have a minyan. Like, and someone called me and said, look, as a friend, I'm going to tell you this isn't going to work. You're going to a place where it's just not going to work. Which seems crazy because like it's like what like a half a mile from Windmere, like it's going to work like ridiculous. But at the time it seemed scary, and a very close friend of mine told me, if you have 10 great ideas, try all of them, and you know what, 9 of them will fail, but the one that hits is going to be a home run. The one that hits is going to be something else, something that nobody else has tried. And, there's not a guaranteed 90% failure rate. But, but that's what a person has to say. Does the Ribbono Shel Olam want me to do this? What does the Ribbono Shel Olam want me to do? Is it possible? Can I maintain focus on being a better Eved Hashem? Can I maintain focus on my learning, even when there's so much else going on around me? And the answer is, not can I. Does the Ribbono Shel Olam want me to? And if the Ribbono Shel Olam wants me to, then of course I can, yes. Rashi in Parshas Tzavim, where the Chumash says Lo Bashamayim, he tells us that if it were Bashamayim, then we'd have to go to the heavens to retrieve it. If that was the avoda, then that's what we would have to do. It's impossible to travel to heaven. They didn't have NASA at that time, but that would have been the expectation. Since we only have to do whatever we can do, and Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides us with the tools for Hatzlacha, just as He did for Batya Basparo when she stretched out her arm. It didn't make sense. What's she stretching out her arm for? She's not going to reach. Rav Chaim Shlomo says, famous rules. You do a little bit. You do what you can. It's not, is it possible? Is it required? Is this what the Ribbono Shel Olam is asking of me? And once you can answer that question, if this is what the Ribbono Shel Olam is asking of me, then everything, of course, is possible. So I see I'm coming to the end of my time. I just wanted to wish you very great Hatzlacha over the course of the rest of this year. Be'ezras Hashem, it should soon normalize, even until then, to continue to be mechazik each other, be mechazik yourselves, be mechazik chavrusas, be mechazik your rebbeim, and gain all that you can from them, because there's so much that you have to offer each other, there's so much that you can get from your remarkable, remarkable rebbeim, and from Hashem's Torah, and in the place ba'osu makom, ba'osu zman, in the place where you are right now, that's the place where you are meant to become the gedolei avoda, the gedolim of avodas Hashem, that the Ribbono Shel Olam expects us all to be. Everyone should have a wonderful evening.